Thank you, Lord. What does a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common? What does a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common? They're both parasites. Wow, I thought it was good. Yeah. We got some wah-wahs. Yeah, oh, we're bringing tomatoes next week, I was just told. Yeah. Where do you learn to make a banana split? Where does one go to learn how to make a banana split? Sunday school. Who got it? Who got it? There you go. That's right. Sunday school. That's a good one. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Sunday school, church related. Yeah, right. What has more letters than the alphabet? What has more letters than the alphabet? Does she know it? Post office. Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Tom. Yeah, nice, huh? Oh, how can you tell if a tree is a dogwood tree? It's bark. There we go. Y'all give it up for yourselves. Yeah. Yeah, they were kind of lame this morning. They weren't great. How's everybody doing? I just feel like we need to go outside and run. What do you think? Want to go outside and run? Then come back in here all sweaty? Go ahead. We'll wait on you. Thank you, Mr. Kenny. Thank you, Mr. Kenny. He's a blessing. Go ahead, Greg. We'll wait on you. Have fun. So have y'all been back here in the backyard yet and saw the tree limbs that were cut back and the trees that are gone now? Nobody's been back there, have they? Yeah, Miss Leanne, of course you have. Yes, ma'am. So take a stroll back there before you leave and look and see. We cut some tree limbs back so it's kind of open. You know, we had the spider monkey himself. Mike was, man, dude, you were, yeah. I mean, I ain't never seen nobody climb a rope like that. That dude could climb a rope and go up in a tree and cut a limb. He will do it. That's crazy, dude. Absolutely insane. Had a lot of men helping out. Hey, if you were helping out, thank you very much. We appreciate it. The food was terrible because I cooked it. But other than that, I think we had a good time and we kind of cleaned up and spruced up back here. So things are starting to move forward and we're starting to clean up back there and hopefully get the building knocked down pretty soon. I'm excited about that part. I want to knock something down. Demolition. Like it. I like it. Anyhow. A couple weeks ago, we started talking about choices. Do y'all remember this? And we're going to kind of continue on choices a little bit today. And I want to start, I think, in Hebrews chapter 12 is where I want to start at. Hebrews chapter 12. This Sunday is considered to be Passion Sunday. Did anybody know that? This is Passion Sunday. I am not. No, I'm not. Excuse me. Facebook people, I'm sorry, but I left my Sonic cup over here. And that one right there is not my drink, and I got a thing about drinking after people, so. Especially people I don't know. I don't know who it is, you know. People I know, I'm kind of okay with it. Anyway, it's Passion Sunday. So where I began to start to work on today was I wanted to read the day before the triumphal entry, which would be Palm Sunday, which is next Sunday, okay? So next Sunday's Palm Sunday, and then we have Easter. And we'll do communion next Sunday. It'll be fun. It's a blast. Tell all your friends, y'all, come on. We do a great communion, you know, not the real stuff, but, you know, I guess if you want some real wine, you can bring it. Just bring you a little nip and dump it in the little jigger, you know. We do, you know, kind of track that. And I was saying, well, let me look at the Sunday before the triumphal entry. Let me look at the day before Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday, which would be this Passion Sunday today. And it's called Passion Sunday. And on the day before, Jesus did a few things. The first thing he did, he ran into Zacchaeus. Everybody remember Zacchaeus, the guy up in the tree? My mama had a squirrel one time. She called him Zacchaeus because he had fallen out of a tree into the back end of my daddy's truck. And it was a baby squirrel. Mama raised that squirrel and kept it in her house. That thing would run across the top of the windows, like on the curtains and stuff, get up on her shoulder. And then one day, he got into his adolescence. And I think she had to let him go. You know, we lived out in the country, and they still do live out in the country. I think Mama went out there and kind of let him go. But Zacchaeus is somewhere on our land, because we don't squirrel hunt. We don't do that. And we hope he lived, you know. Yeah. Well, I'll eat a squirrel, but I don't like hunting squirrels. It's a little tough. It's not easy, you know, and you go shooting at them, they're kind of small. Anyway, So Jesus saw Zacchaeus, and everybody knows the story of Zacchaeus. He was the dude up in the tree. Jesus also spent some time with a guy by the, he was called Bartimaeus. He was a blind guy. Y'all remember blind Bartimaeus? Blind Bartimaeus had an interesting experience. And so I'm reading all this stuff. I'm having a good time. I'm like, man, this is nice. And it's depicted in all four Gospels. All four Gospels kind of track with each other in there. And so, you know, I was having a good time reading. And three of the Gospels talked about a young man that I want to talk about this morning, because something just kind of, I just kept running into it. And so he's called the rich young ruler, or rich young man. And we're going to get into that today to point out some stuff that I think God has to say this morning, and some things that he wants us to look at as we start to go into this Resurrection Sunday season that we're entering into. We're entering into a season where we remember, you know, what Jesus' struggle was, the sacrifice that he made, and what that sacrifice means for us today. It's a lot of fun, so the next couple of weeks are going to be pretty cool. Probably the best time of the year is happening right now. The sun's starting to shine, birds are chirping. We're thinking about, you know, newness of life, newness of you know, everything's being reborn, you know, and it's all, you know, it kind of all coincides with him, you know, and what he did for us. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, this is verse 1, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You're like, Greg, I thought you were going to talk about the rich young ruler. And I am. And how it relates to us. You know, the Bible says right here that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and we are to do something. We are to do some things. We're supposed to lay aside weights, and we're supposed to put away the sin that besets us, that ensnares us, that slows us down from running a race. Keeping our eyes upon Jesus, who will begin and end everything that we have to do. And so we have a part to play in this thing, which is to lay aside that weight. And I know I've talked about it before, but sometimes you'll have weights and sins that get on you that you don't even realize are there. You don't even notice them. We don't even see them. In fact, they become like a part of our lives, and they become so by rote and regular that it's almost a religious experience as opposed to a relationship that we might be having with God. Did y'all hear that? It's so by rote and so just automatic that it's almost a religious act instead of something that has to do with our relationship with God. Let's go look at the rich young ruler. What do you think? Let's check him out. Like I said, he's in three of the Gospels. We're going to check him out in Matthew 19. You'll also find him in Mark 10 and Luke 18. Matthew 19, verse 16. Let's go there real fast. And I have my Bible. Like, I actually have the Bible with me. Anybody bring your Bible this morning? Man, I'm telling you, I'm going to start throwing some money at folks whenever they bring their Bibles. Not your phone, your cell phone. I got my cell phone too. Yeah, there we go. Paper Bible. Yeah. Everybody okay this morning? It's awfully quiet in this Presbyterian church today. Yeah, everybody's sleepy or something. Let's turn on some air. Get some air moving. Mr. Sorrells, do you mind turning on a couple of those blowers, get some of this air moving in here? Let's see if we can wake these people up. Everybody's starting to drift off into la-la land. Yeah, getting way too cozy. Make y'all go outside and run. Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you call me good? This is Jesus talking. No one is good but the one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Seems pretty straightforward. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus says, well, you shall not murder, which is, yeah, don't kill nobody, which is number six. Don't commit adultery, which is number seven. You shall not steal, which is number eight. And you shall not bear false witness, which is number nine. So Jesus kind of take him from the middle of the ten, just kind of running him on through there. And then he says, honor your father and your mother. He backed up to number five because he meant to start in the middle and he started at number six. He's like, you know what? I got to go back to number five, which is honor your father and your mother. I'm sure that's what he was thinking. And the last one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which is not part of the ten. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? And Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, which is complete, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly, I say to you, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard it, this is great, they were greatly astonished, saying, then Lord, who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and he said, with men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I like this, man. I like this. There's so much that Jesus is bringing out in this thing. How many of y'all know the Ten Commandments are not going to get you to heaven? Raise your hand if you know that to be true. If you don't know that to be true, that's the truth. There's one way, the truth, and the life, and his name is Jesus Christ. He died on a cross 2,000 years ago. 3 days later, he rose again, and he now sits at the right hand of God. If you believe on him and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's how it works. It's not the Ten Commandments. If it was the Ten Commandments, then Jesus wouldn't have to come. This little dude pulled up to Jesus. He said, what do I have to do to receive eternal life? And Jesus is trying to bring out not only to him, but to us, no matter how many things we do by rote, no matter how often we go to church, no matter how much we give, none of that matters. The only thing that matters to eternal life is through the doorway, which is Jesus Christ. The guy comes up and says, what do I have to do? And he says, well, keep the commandments. He's popping off to him. Jesus knows that's not the answer. The answer is something else, but he's trying to point out something in the young man. You have been doing a thing so long that it's just become a normal piece of your life, and it's not meaning anything in your heart, and I'm going to show you right here. I'm going to start with number six. Then I'm going to go to number seven, eight, and nine. You know these things. And he even says, Lord, I've been doing those since I was for a while. I'm doing them. I'm doing it. Look at me. In fact, it's almost like if you read all of them, it's almost like this dude wanted a little pat on the back. Way to go, bud. Way to go, buddy. I'm sorry, y'all, but the Christian walk is not a pat on the back. It ain't. And if you're doing this looking for somebody to pat you on the back and tell you how great a job you're doing, you are in the wrong place. I'm not saying that to be ugly. I'm just saying it because if you're doing this, if you're doing anything, if you're here today because you wanted everybody to see you, so that you don't get a phone call from Greg wanting to know why you backslid, if that's what you're here for the wrong reason. There's not any pats on the back whenever you get to heaven. The only Pats are there are Christians that have died and gone on before us whose name were Pat, Patrick, or Patty. We're not going to get a pat on the back. Jesus is not going to lie. You're not going to be, hey, man, tell me what all the Ten Commandments, can you name them? And you go to name them and rattle them off. He goes, oh, good job. Doesn't work like that. And he even brought it out. Look what he said to the guy. Are y'all with me? Everybody's looking at me funny this morning. I'm never coming back here again. He says in verse 19, honor your father and your mother, which we said was number five. And then he brought out, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which is not in the ten. And the guy was like, I've been doing this stuff my whole life. I've been doing it. I've been keeping it my whole life. In fact, you love your neighbor as yourself is from Leviticus is where it's from. And he said, you know, I've been doing these things all my life. And Jesus says, well, if you want to be complete, if you want to be perfect, the word he used in there was perfect, but it's really complete to full age, to mature. If you want to be fully mature in this thing, it's way more than just checking off little boxes to say that I did all my things today. Well, I got up and I prayed. Check that. And then I read my Bible. Check that. And then I called Miss So-and-so to make sure she was okay. Let's check that. So much more than that. Jesus brings out that it's a heart issue. Look here. He says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you've got and give it to the poor. Now, interesting fact here. Jesus is not trying to tell this guy that he doesn't need to have money, and he's not trying to say money's bad because he didn't say you can't go back and re-earn what you just gave away. In fact, if you read your Bible, and I think Joel said it this morning, when you give, it's given back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Did you do that one? Which one did you do this morning? Yeah, Luke said that. However, Joel was absolutely correct. When you give, what happens? It's given back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Could you imagine the return the young ruler would have had he gone and sold all that he had and gave it all to the poor? There's some laws in the kingdom of God, okay? There's some laws out there. One of them is called sowing and reaping. If you sow, you will reap. The world tries to call it karma. Oh, you got good karma and bad karma. It's not karma. It's sowing and reaping. Good, you sow good, you sow into people, good's going to come back out. That's sowing and reaping. You sow bad, guess what? Bad going to come back out. If you go and you give everything that you have away, and I'll triple dog dare you to do it. Have you give it all away? God in his word has said, if you do that, I'll give it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Because it says in, I think it's in Mark, he says, in the same package, he says, that, a passage, there's not anybody that's ever given up family or friends or brother or sister or lands or houses for my name's sake that didn't get, back in this life. The guy missed it. His heart didn't belong to God. His actions did. And that's a weight. Actually becomes sin. And you don't even realize it's there. The guy didn't even realize it was there. He thought he was going to roll up on Jesus. And Jesus was going to say, dude, wow, you're so amazing. Never have I come in contact with anyone like you. And I'm from heaven. Is this sticking? Are y'all with me here? And he said to the young man, he said, but whenever the young man heard what Jesus said, he went away and he was afraid, for he had great possessions and he wasn't willing to give anything up. And then Jesus goes into this concept where he starts talking about that a rich person cannot get into heaven. And even the disciples were like, wow, then who's going to get there? Because contrary to traditional teaching, the disciples had money. Jesus had money. Jesus had so much money that he had a guy by the name of Judas to carry his money for him. He was the treasurer of the group. And Judas would pay people and give alms, and he would send him off. Hey, go give them some money over there. And that's what Judas did. And Jesus had so much in his little treasury, his little traveling treasury, they didn't realize that 30 pieces of silver had left. Remember? Or that the 30 pieces of silver had gotten in there. That's what it was. Yeah, they paid him. There was that, you know, there's money everywhere for these guys. Peter owned his own boat that he lent to Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but folks that own their own boat normally got a little bit of money. You got to keep the thing up. You got to run it. You got to keep it clean. You got to keep the holes out of it. And then not only did he have a boat, Peter had a whole bunch of nets. And you got to keep your nets straight and keep your nets running and make sure that your nets are clean. And then not only did he have all that, but then he took his boat and his nets out every day, caught fish, brought them back and sold them to people. Entrepreneur, business owner. These guys were not broke. They weren't poor. They just were willing to give away everything they had for what God had called them to do. They weren't poor. And so that's why that if you go, where's that at, Lord? Let's see, verse 25, put it up there. Look at verse 25, can you get that one? When the disciples heard that he said it's going to be hard for a rich man to get into heaven, they were greatly astonished and then said, well then, who going to be saved? Because we kind of ain't broke, Lord. We kind of got it going on just a little bit. Then who's going to get into heaven if we're not? Just read it. If you don't believe me, read it. It's in three Gospels. I told y'all before we got started, it's in there three times. And they're astonished. And so Jesus goes into, if you back up a little bit, Jesus says, verse 23, Jesus says to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say in verse 24, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And so they were like, what's going on? And so I do a little research. Has anybody ever heard of the eye of the needle? It's a door. It's not a needle. It's a door. This door resided on the side of the gate to Jerusalem. The door was large enough for one man to go through, for one man to walk through the door. And it was there because they would close the gate at night, but yet people would still come up at night and need to get into the city. So what they would do is they had that little side door and they let everybody in the little side door. The other thing is that if somebody attacked the city and the doors were shut, that little side door, you try to start, you know, the enemies start trying to go through that little door. You're going to be able to take them out one by one because only one man can pass through at a time. Y'all with me? So not only did it give access, but it also further added protection. So, if a camel needed to go through the eye of the needle, it had to be just like this little young ruler. It had to be just like him. I mean, Jesus is still telling the same thing. You notice that about God. Whenever you really start getting close to God, he don't change a whole lot. He kind of says the same stuff over and over and over again. You just keep hearing it again and again and again. Yesterday, today, and forever. You know what I mean? Saying the same stuff. Like if you read your Bible today, open up Psalm 23 and read it today whenever you get home, then read it tomorrow. Guess what it says? Same thing it said today. It don't change. He's always saying the same stuff. Blows me away. So Jesus is telling this again, and he says that for this camel to go through the eye of the needle, it's the same way for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. What he has to do, he's got to go through this little side door. Now you could get a camel through there. What they would have to do, let's visualize this. Y'all ready? Visualize it. Desert. It's dark. It's at night. What is that, Aladdin? What's that song at the beginning? Arabian Nights. Like, da, 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 da. Y'all with me? Everybody seeing it in your brain? You got it in your mind's eye? You with me? And there's a caravan coming. Right? And they're pulling up to the front and the door is shut. And I got three camels and five peoples with me. And we got to get in the city. Now these camels are loaded down because I'm coming to Jerusalem because I'm going to sell a whole bunch of stuff. Are y'all seeing this? Y'all got it? Camels are loaded up with stuff. I'm going to sell it all. Bunch of, I've been collecting, cactuses. I'm going to sell cactuses. Cacti. I'm going to sell some cacti up there in Jerusalem. So I got cacti all on my camels. Y'all with me? Everybody seeing it? Got about five people with me, three camels. All right. Going through the eye of the needle. It's about midnight 30. I ain't going to wait till in the morning. I've been sleeping outside for months in the desert. I'm going to go inside. Da, na, 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 na. And I'm going to find me a place to sleep. So I got to get my camels through this little small door. And a camel stands taller than a man, correct? Y'all with me? So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to get this camel smaller. And how do you make a camel smaller to go through a door? Well, the first thing you got to do, you got to get all the cacti off the camel. So all the extra baggage, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us and get that camel cleaned off. You get that thing cleaned off, and then you get that camel up to the door and you punch him in the back of his legs and make him hit his knees, right? Just like us, at some point we're going to have to, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and push that puppy through that door to make it through the eye of the needle. Get him on the other side. Go get your cacti and put him back on the camel so you can go find a place to sleep instead of outside tonight. And that's the way the process went. You would have a man in front pulling. You'd have a man in back pushing and smelling bad, trying to get this camel, pushing the camel through the eye of the needle. Was it impossible? No. But with God, all things are possible. If you will just take what is on you and give it to God and let Him have it, let Him strip everything off of you, it's easy. You can slide right on into where you need to be at and where He wants you to be. Because with Him, it's possible. You try to do it yourself, check off your little boxes because you're doing all the churchy stuff you're supposed to be doing. I'm going to church. I'm going to stuff on Wednesday nights. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I'm not saying it's bad. Ain't nothing bad with it. I'm here all the time. But did you check? It's so much more than just checking off our little boxes. It's all about having a relationship with Jesus so that we don't have to miss out. First Peter chapter 5, and then we'll get out of here. Are y'all smelling what I'm stepping in here? You getting what I'm trying to say? I don't know if you are. Smells like camel, don't it? Man, because whenever I started to see this stuff, I got real super happy. Because now all of a sudden I don't have to go to church, I get to. Now all of a sudden I don't have to read my word, I get to. Now all of a sudden I don't have to pray, I get to. A whole new mindset. It's a whole new way of living. It's not about trying to mark off some little marks on a report card to say that I did all the stuff I was supposed to do. The report card don't mean jack no more. Take your report card someplace, it don't mean nothing. The only thing that matters is Jesus. That's it. That's it. And now you find yourself praying for 5 minutes here, 50 minutes there, 30 minutes here, 3 minutes there, 2 seconds over here, a whole day over here. It just don't matter. It's all about what you're being led to do. It's all about a freedom. There's freedom in this. And held down in all these things that we're supposed to do to be Christians. No! This is freedom. We live a lifestyle of freedom. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We are free people. People should look at us and go, man, I want to be like them. I don't know if y'all listening. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, that's talking to me. Submit yourselves to the elders. That's most of y'all out there. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility, because God does what with the proud? He resists. What y'all laughing at? Yeah, humility. Yeah. It means that He stands against you. That's what resist means right here. This word, and I ain't gonna say it in the Greek because it's about that long. I'm not gonna say it. But to resist means to stand against you. God will stand against the proud. That's what that means. He will stand against the proud, but He will give what? Grace. It's a year of grace on grace. Grace on grace. Here we go. We're starting to tap into what God's trying to do in our lives right now. He'll give grace to the who? The humble. Whoa, them folks that's willing to take the cacti off the camel. Willing to get that camel on its knees and slide right on through. Willing to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Willing to say, you know what, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness by your blood. Willing to do that. Lord, I don't have this all figured out. I need help. I need help. I need help now. Does this make sense? Let's go to the next one, Charles. Therefore, what are we supposed to do? Humble who? Ourselves. See, God ain't going to humble you. I used to have people tell me all the time, oh boy, I'll tell you what, the good Lord, he's going to humble you. He's going to put you in your place. No, uh-uh. It's your job to humble you. It ain't God's job to humble you. It's your job to humble you. We got some responsibility here. We got some stuff we're supposed to be doing. And one of them things we're supposed to be doing is not necessarily checking off all the boxes except one, humble. Therefore, humble yourselves where? Under the mighty hand of God, that he may do what? Exalt who? You in due time. Keep going there, Charles. Show them the next one. How do you do that? You cast what? All the junk. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, which means to stand against, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings experienced by you, your brotherhood in the world. Excuse me. I read some of it. I didn't read it all. Y'all can see it for yourself. Casting all of your care upon him. Cast, which means, what does it mean, Travis? What's cast mean? Throw off. Throw it off. Not casting like you're fishing. It's not the same kind of casting, guys. Because whenever we cast, when we're fishing, we're reeling it back in. This is talking about getting rid of. Don't go to God and get on your knees and lay out all your problems out of your backpack that you're toting around with you. Lay aside every weight and the sin so easily besets us. See how this is all kind of working together? Put it all out there in front of him because you got it in your little backpack, and then you pray about it, Lord, do something about all this, and then pick it all back up, put it in your backpack, and carry it off. That's not casting. That's keeping. There's a difference between casting and keeping. Right? Cast our care upon him. The little stuff that's holding us back, we need to just let him have it. And if you're not careful, it will creep in on you. It will creep in and you'll find yourself like the rich little kid. God will ask you to do something and you won't, because it's too hard. And you'll come to find out that God is no longer God in your life. That thing is. Because he's asked you to get rid of it. And you won't hold on to it. No idols. Amen. Isn't this good? I knew it was going to go over like a funeral. I knew it. I knew y'all was going to look at me like we were sitting here saying goodbye to somebody. I knew it was going to happen that way. I was looking at this with Lord. I was like, Lord, let me say something fun. He was like, no, we're going to talk about this. I'm like, are you sure? You sure, God? He's like, yeah, we're going to talk about this. He would not let me get off of this morning. I tried so hard. I wanted to preach something else about righteousness, you know, right standing with God, you know, get everybody excited. No, he's like, no, we're going to talk about this kid, this little ruler over here. Take it to heart. We're entering into a season where we get to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, which is our access. We don't need the eye of the needle no more. We don't need that. We got full. The gates of heaven are wide open to us through Jesus. Amen? We don't even need that anymore. We're going to celebrate that stuff. Get it right. Lay aside the sin and the weights that we've been carrying around. Amen? So, homework. Are y'all ready? Homework. The triumphant entry. We'll be talking about that next week. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 21, Mark chapter 11, halfway through Luke 19, and halfway through John 12. Y'all get that? Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19 about halfway through, and John 12 about halfway through that. You'll see the triumphal entry, and we'll be talking about that next week. So that's your homework to read up on those things. Go ahead and read it. It's okay. And go on through. Go past that. Get over in the garden. Huh? Get into the garden. Go past that scourging real quick. Zip. You know? Get up on that crucifixion, man. That's some tough stuff he was going through. Read it. Like read what was happening up in there. Take your time. This ain't no race, not speed reading. I don't speed read the Bible. It takes me forever to read through it. I do with y'all because we're trying to cover time, but just take your time. Read it. And then, after the crucifixion happens, something amazing, amazing takes place. I mean, him dying, okay, he died. No, then he rose again. It's it's crazy. If you've never read the story, you need to read it. You need to read it. Yes, he actually got up. He's not in the grave. Which that reminds me, y'all remember Channel 3? What was the news guy on Channel 3, late night news? Not Walter Cronkite, it was after him. Who? Dan Rather? Is that right? Is that the national guy? I can't remember the dude's name, but he went all the way to Jerusalem because they found where Jesus' grave was. And he took a camera in there. It's a true story. True story. He took a camera in there. I remember watching this as a kid. He's going through and they're kind of, you know, they're kind of walking through and they get up in there and the spot where he was laid, guess what? Guess what? He wasn't there. He was not there. They went looking for Jesus in the grave and he wasn't there. You want to know why? Because that dude rose again. He's sitting at the right hand of God right now. Oh, and he wants to be your Lord. He wants to show you that life don't have to be miserable. He wants to show you that life can be free and fun and you can have a good old time. He wants to see a smile on your face, a spring in your step. He wants you to know that whenever bad things come, that's all right. Bad things gonna happen, but I'm here. I'm with you. I'm walking with you. I got you, big daddy. That's what he loves to say every time he tells me, at least that's what it says to me. Whenever stuff gets bad, he goes, I got you, big daddy. I'm like, oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Amen. Y'all got your homework? Okay, it's a tough day today. Got to go home and think through some stuff, figure out whether or not we're going to come back next week. I don't know. Anyway, let's all stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We won't just be hearers, but we will be doers because the doers are what, y'all? Blessed, and we know we want to be blessed, so we're going to be doing it, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. We pray, and everybody agreed with that said. Amen. Have a good day.